things that he's doing. This morning, we're going to continue with a little bit of change in our sort of in the anniversary series, but you know that the last 2 weeks, our anniversary is Sunday, and then last week, remember both Sundays, I told you, Psalm 139, and then we didn't have time, right? I think I've said it both Sundays. And so this morning, this week, as I've been praying and as I have been preparing, I have felt the Lord turning my heart to Psalm 139, which is one of the really famous psalms of the Old Testament. There are a few that are really famous, right? Psalm 1, Psalm 23, right? Psalm, what else? Thank you, Psalm 91, and that's where Johnny read from this morning. And then Psalm 139 is one of those also, and there are some other ones as well. But this morning we're going to look at Psalm 139, and we are going to look at it in the light of, so here we go, no one knows you better. We're going to look at it in the light of Ephesians 2:10, which was the theme for our anniversary, right? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. There are wonderful things there. Sometimes people look at this and there are things that they don't like or they push against because we have a natural human desire or will. We don't want people to tell us what to do, right? Few of us, we don't like people telling us what to do. I was thinking about this as I was preparing. Years ago, my father was the middle child, and he had an older brother, Wayne, and a younger sister, Linda. So I was thinking about this, don't tell me what to do. And my auntie, Linda, she came much, much later in the family than the two boys. She came 16 years later. So in the meantime, dad's brother had already had children and then Linda was born. And so, there were cousins who were older than an auntie, right? That gets complicated, right? Gets a little bit complicated. So the auntie, though she was younger, she was a little bit bossy. Just a little bit bossy. And so she was telling the cousin, one of the cousins, Sherry, she was telling her what to do. And then and the cousin wasn't doing it. And Linda looked at her. She said, I'm your auntie. You have to do it. And Sherry, the cousin, who was older, looked at her and just said, you're not the boss of me. And we, in our family, we have laughed about that many times whenever we get bossy with one another, because sometimes we get bossy in our families, right? Okay, if you're sitting next to a sibling, don't look at each other right now, all right? We kind of get bossy. So in our family, whenever somebody says something that we just look and we say, you're not the boss of me. And that's something that's a little bit humorous, but in fact, a lot of times we feel that way a little bit about God, don't we? We really do, especially if we have not had good experiences with religion. I don't want to say with God, because you know what? You never have a bad experience with God. Never. If you've ever had a bad experience and you thought that's God, I guarantee you it wasn't God. We don't have bad experiences with God. We can have bad experiences with churches sometimes. We can have bad experiences with religion sometimes. We can have bad experiences with people in churches sometimes, right? But we never have a bad experience with God. Never. And so for some of us, if that's something that we struggle through, let the Lord help you work that out. I just want to say that flat out right now. If there's some of these things in your heart, it's kind of whatever, I'm just telling you right now, it's not God. It's not God. It's not God if it's not good. If it's good, Okay. But if it's not good, it's not God.
Mm.
Okay. So we're going to look at Psalm 139 this morning related to all of this, and that we're God's workmanship. We were created initially. We've talked about this. We were created in the beginning. And as we said, God made us like himself to have relationship with us. And this helps us to see the heart and the character of God, right? So God made us like himself so that we could have relationship with him. He made us like himself with a choice and a free will so that we could choose, right? Or else it's kidnapping and puppets, and God's not like that. And so we know that Satan messed that up, and he lied about God. And then when man believed the lie about good God, about God who was good, and instead thought, oh, God is controlling, then man messed it up. And God and the enemy still, you know, he still throws around the same lie today, right? He really does. His lies remain the same. So then God came back in, and God gave us a chance to be created again, to be recreated in Christ Jesus. That's the only way that we can be made new, right? And aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? I look at this, and I was thinking about this this week, and actually Psalm 139 has been in my heart and in my thoughts actually for the last month or more, and it just hasn't fit yet into the last two messages. But I was thinking about the goodness of God, because in never giving up on you, in never giving up on me, never, ever, ever, we blow it. We turn our backs on God. We get angry at God. Come on, how many of you have gotten angry at God before? God, this, that, or whatever. It's true. It's true. And God never says, well, okay, then do your own thing. He never gives up on us. And we see that. We see that in Ephesians 2:10. But this morning, as we go back to Psalm 139, we're going to see it in a new way. And as we look at Psalm 139, and I believe and I trust that we're going to be blessed this morning as we look at Psalm 139. It's not a deep dive. If we did Psalm 139 in a deep dive, it would take several weeks. So it's not going to be a deep dive. But in light of being God's workmanship, we're going to look at Psalm 139 this morning. Okay. So if you have your Bibles, of course I'll display it here, but if you've got your Bibles electronic, you can click on it or turn in your paper Bibles. And why don't we start with Psalm 139, verse 1. That's as Julie Andrews sings in The Sound of Music. Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very good, anyhow. Some of you don't even know that song, do you? Y'all are spring chickens, that's what you are, and I'm a dinosaur. Okay, look how Psalm 139 starts. And look, we're just going to look at this together. I'm gonna keep track on the time. If you look in your Bibles, it says that this is a Psalm of David. Some people disagree about it. Some people say it was written by David, and others say, well, the language is a little bit different, so it was inspired. Whether it was written by David or by someone else. So let's look at it together. And it begins with, Lord, you have searched me and known me. So although we are God's creation, this psalm actually is a lot about God and what he's like, about God, God's power, God's presence, God's creation, God's care for us, all of that. And it helps us to understand God better, and then it helps us to understand ourselves better. So here he makes a big statement. It says, Lord, you have searched me and known me. This word searched means inside and outside. It's not superficial. And when Jews use this word in Hebrew, this is what this meant. It was the same word that was used like if you're digging a deep mine as well. So it's really, it's comprehensive, right? And that when we understand that, it's not like, oh, God's just kind of looking at you. Oh, you're like this. I don't know if you've ever had somebody meet you one time and they've pigeonholed you, right? They've said, oh, you are like this, right? Well, maybe you were just having a bad day. Or maybe you were having a really good day, and that wasn't really what you were like, but they thought, oh, I know you. No one knows you better than God because, as David says, you have searched me and you have known me. And so searched is inside and out. It's not superficial, digging deep into a mine or exploring a land or investigating a legal case. This word is what it's used for. And when he says you have known me, it means there are no gaps in what you know about me. So this is where David starts out. Sorry, I'm going to say David most of the time, or I'll say the writer. So this is where David starts out. So I was thinking about this, and you all know what I used to do and what I used to be, right? I am your least favorite teacher and university or high school course ever. I'm the English teacher. I'm the writer. You know how many of you had to take a composition, a writing 101, or what is that? That's what it's called in the U.S. I don't know what it's called in Hong Kong or other places. And you had to write, and you usually have to write like about 8 papers in the class. And that was one of the classes I taught a lot. So when I would teach this class and I would teach writing, usually I would say, okay, you begin with a theme sentence, or you begin with the theme. Here's the theme. Here's the sentence, right? And then what you have to do in the paper is you have to give support for what you say. For example, this day is beautiful. Well, what are you going to tell me about this day? The sky is blue. The humidity is 62%. There's a breeze. It's not raining. There's no typhoon on the way. And the temperature is 23. Is that okay? Let's go a little bit cooler. Let's say 19. How about that? With a little bit up in the air. And then you would say, yeah, this day is beautiful, right? Okay, so I'm giving you that little example to say, David says, oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. That's what he declares. And then, as we look at Psalm 139, we're going to see how he describes. Is that really true of God? And Psalm 139 tells us how. Okay? So David is going to show us it's not just that God knows everything. He knows me. It's not just that God is everywhere. He is everywhere with me. It's not just that God created everything. He created me. And so let's look at this together. We go a little bit further, and this is how God knows us. David says, you know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. So here we have this picture, right? This is how God knows us. It's not the only ways that he knows us, but here it is. Here's this first support for what David has said. God, you have searched me and you've known me. Now hang with me, because we're going to get to the why of it in just a minute and why it's important. So let's look at this for just a little bit. When David says, you know when I sit down and when I stand up, that word know means to distinguish and to discern with insight. He's really looking deep. And then when he says, when I sit down and when I stand up, that's a proverb. Okay, that was a Jewish proverb. And actually what it means is God knows everything. Okay, that's really what it means. For example, I might say something like, oh, I know Hong Kong like the back of my hand. That's just an English expression. By the way, I don't know Hong Kong like the back of my hand. I get lost on the island. But now, if you want to come to Taipo, I can tell you anywhere you need to go in Taipo, because I'm a Taipo girl. So I am a Taipo girl. You are too, B. I'm not saying you're not. This is not exclusive. B and I are both Taipo girls. May's back there waving her hand. May and B and I are Taipo girls. Any other Taipo girls? What, sir? Now we're going to start fighting, right? Let's not fight. But we know it well, right? For example, in Taipo, I know, although they've recently moved, I know where to get really good daofufa. Right? Do you know where it is? B says, of course, I know. Oh, that's right. Melrose is a Taipo girl, too. That's right. We know where. We know where. And so this is just a light example. But what God is saying, what David is saying is, God, you know all these things about me. And so it's a proverbial expression that God says he really knows about us. Now, I want you to see something a little bit here as we look at how God knows us. These things that David says are really mundane, okay? Mundane means day-to-day. Seems not very important, right? It's not a big deal, right? You know when I sit down, when I stand up, you understand my thoughts. You observe my travels and my rest, all of that. It seems very, very mundane. But when I think about that, I think about what Jesus says in the New Testament in Matthew 10:30. What does Jesus say that God knows about you that seems like it's not a big deal at all? And yet, Jesus took time enough to say, this is what God knows about you. More than one place, by the way. What is it? Thank you. Venus was waving her beautiful long hair, right? Jesus says that God has numbered every hair of your head. That sounds to me like this. Sit down, stand up, go here, go there. May I say something? Who cares? Seriously, who cares? God, don't you have more important things to do than to count my hairs? I lost some on Friday. Or when I blow dry my hair. And I'm not trying to be silly or facetious, but I want you to think about that. Why does Jesus say that? What do you think? Why does David say, when I sit down and when I stand up? Why, Keith?
He knows us intimately in
detail. He knows us intimately. That's right. Things that to us are very day-to-day and not a big deal, God knows about you. Do you know why that's important for us this morning? Because that knowledge of God that he tells us about shows us that literally every single thing about you is meaningful to your Father. Meaningful. Everything. Have you ever thought, I can't bother God with this. I've just got to figure this out myself. Have you ever thought, well, God doesn't care about this? Have you ever thought those things? I've given you the example before about this family from Bulgaria. They were studying in China. He and his wife were there, and they had three children. And they were Christians, but very, very from a very traditional church in Bulgaria. And they had these things that were really big about, like, what should they do and whatever. And I was talking with him and praying with them. I've used this example before. And I asked the Father, have you prayed about it? Let's talk to God about it. Remember, those of you that remember this example, this illustration, he looked at me really shocked and he said, oh, no. He said, no, no, no. I would never bring that to God. That's not important enough. I have to figure that out for myself. I only ask God about the important things. Now, you know what? We're kind of the same way sometimes. And what God wants you to know is everything about you, everything about you is meaningful to him. We're going to talk about why in just a minute. You observe my travels, my rest. You're aware of all my ways. I want you to look at that expression. You are aware of all my ways. And I want you to hang on to it, because a little bit later in Psalm 139, we're going to see that again. In fact, we're going to see it two or three more times. And that tells you something really specific about you are aware of all my ways. Do you know what that means? That's not just the hair of my head, when I sit and when I stand. When David says you're aware of all my ways, that expression means the patterns of your life, the habits of your life, the ways that you are going, the things that you do, and the choices you make that show where your heart is, that show the direction you're going. And God knows all these things about us, and He is beyond that. He is aware, and He's interested in which way are you going with your life. Some of you this morning are going the wrong way with your life. You're choosing things. You're involved in things that are not taking you in ways that move to God. And God cares about that. And God is aware of that. It's not my business to point a finger, although if God says, say something, I'll say something. What God wants you to know is God cares about the patterns of your life. He cares more than those of you that have parents, those of you that have kids. You know how much you care about your kids? I talk with you all sometimes. You talk about how concerned you are for their studies and how they're doing, or if they're struggling with things. Guess what? God cares more. God cares more. God cares about your ways. So whenever in the Bible, when you're reading New Testament, Old Testament, when you read this, you are aware, when you read about the ways that we go, or the pathway or the footsteps, that means the general pattern of your life. That means the general direction of your life. Which way are you going? I remember a few years ago, there was someone that I knew, but they were posting a lot on Facebook. It was not in Hong Kong. And I started seeing things that were posted on Facebook. Okay? I'm not knocking Facebook. And I know for some of you it's like Facebook, wah, wah, you know, so old. But anyhow, I started seeing things on Facebook. Big things? No, not big things. Small things. But what I saw concerned me because it looked like there was a pattern going in a certain direction. And sure enough, not a long time after that, things came out that showed the pattern of this person's life that altered that person's future for forever. Now, God is aware of all the small things that make up the big things, because He cares about us, as we're going to see. But I want you to see one other thing here. If I were to ask you this morning, who knows you best? Who knows you best? Leave God out of it for just a minute. Here on the earth, who knows you best? Okay, I'm going to call on some of you, right? Keith's already answered. Keith, who knows you best? Keith knows Keith best. Maybe, truly. Okay, truly. Somebody else. Somebody else. Who am I going to call on? Letty. Who knows you best?
Myself.
Yourself? Okay, I'm sorry. You can't say yourself. You can't say God, and you can't say yourself. Outside of God, because you're all going to say the same thing. But you know what? As we're going to see in just a minute, when we get to the end of this psalm, do you know what we're going to find out? We're going to find out that we don't even really always know ourselves very well. And we need help with ourselves, don't we? We really do. Okay, so you can't say God, you can't say yourself. Okay, let's try that again. Keith. Okay, Keith's doing this. He's doing a thumb at his wife. Okay. Letty. Kenneth. Okay, I'm going to ask some unmarried people now. Johnny, who knows you best? He's not married, by the way, unless it's a secret. Ah, so Julia knows Johnny better than Mom and Dad do. And then Johnny quickly amends that. Also my mom. Because he knows who cooks food in his house, right? Okay. So we point at people around us. I know this is a little bit lighthearted, but it helps us to understand, right? So as well as as well as we think we know ourselves, as well as we think others know us, we would all acknowledge that there are things about ourselves that other people don't know, right? They don't know. There are things about ourselves that we don't always know. We get mixed up inside sometimes, don't we? We get mixed up. We can't figure things out. Or sometimes we get in a situation where there's pressure or there's difficulty, and something comes up in us or something comes up out of us, and we're just horrified, aren't we? We're thinking, I can't believe I thought that. Or I can't believe I said that. All of these things are no surprise to God, who knows us intimately. You see, this says there are all these outward things that God knows about us. But look at something else here. David understands, you understand my thoughts from far away. Before you had that thought, God already knew it. And then he says, before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. Things that even surprise us or surprise ourselves and that other people don't know about. David says, God, you know this about me. Now, some of you right now are kind of thinking, okay, yeah, got the point. God knows us really well. That's part of it. But there's more to it. And we have that, and then we see what happens next. What else does David say? So you know all about us, and then it gets a little bit serious. And I'm not sure what to think about verse 5, okay? Look at verse 5. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. How many of you don't like that? Okay. Crystal, thank you for being honest. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. It sounds kind of controlling, doesn't it? It sounds a little bit limiting, doesn't it? Okay. So let's look at it, because this is what David says, and we want to understand this, because he's saying, God, you know everything about me. And so our reaction might be, well, God knows everything about me, and then, is that what this means? Because that's what some people think, right? That's how we feel sometimes. So let's look at this a little bit more, and what it means, what does it mean here, okay? What does it mean? Encircled means this. Okay? Ready? Encircled. You can find other words. It actually means a hedge that goes around you that protects you. Okay? That's the literal meaning in the Hebrew. Okay? And when we understand that, it helps us to understand this, God's intention towards us. When Jews use this word, do you know what it meant? They had something valuable, and they wanted to protect it. Okay, so now, Crystal, you can begin to change your way of thinking about that, right? No, don't be sorry. What that means...
I said, you're so right.
There we go, you're so right. I like to hear that. A plus, Crystal. But when we understand that, then we begin to understand verses 1, 2, 3, 4, you know everything about me. And then we come to verse 5, and David says, you encircle me. And that encircling is because you are valuable to God. You are precious to God. I know some of you, and I've known other people. They're not in this church anymore. Some of you in your families, and maybe even now, have been told you don't count, you are not important, other people or maybe another sibling is of more value, is more worthy, is better than you are. Why can't... My sister and I were really good students in school. Now, my parents never did it, but in school. And my brother was really smart, too, but he kind of had his own way. And you know what some of the teachers in school said to him? They said the worst thing possible that you could ever say. They said, to our younger brother, why can't you be more like Becky and Jennifer? Can you say something worse? Nope. That's about as bad as you can get. In families, it can be even harder. And we can feel unworthy or unloved. We can be told that. Even if it's not said, sometimes we feel that, don't we? We do. I want you to hear something this morning and to hold on to it. Listen, hold on to it. God says to you this morning, you are my treasure. You are valuable to me. I encircle you and I protect you. I know everything about you. Some of us feel, yeah, but I'm disqualified because I blew it so badly. How many of you have ever thought, if you really knew what I'm like, you wouldn't want to be friends with me? If you really knew what I used to do, you would be horrified and you'd back off. Here's the great thing, brothers and sisters. All those things that you're hiding, that you don't want others to know about, God knows every one of those things. Every one of those things. And you know what he says? I encircle you. You are valuable to me. You are my treasure. And I put my arms around you. That's what that means. That's why it's important that we see verses 1, 2, 3, 4. God knows everything about us. And then you get to verse 5. And instead of it being bad, you have encircled me. It's not control. It is love and care for a valued object, a treasured object. And then David said, you have placed your hand on me. How many of you, you know, sometimes you'll see a parent or I'm going to tell you something about me that you didn't know. I love to look at funny animal videos. Cats, dogs, monkeys, pretty much any animal. I'll be working away. I'll take a break and then I'll watch funny animal videos. And one of the videos that I often see will be little monkeys getting into all sorts of trouble, right? Just all sorts of trouble, going here and there. And then what happens? The mother monkey just reaches out and often grabs it by the tail, right? And that little monkey is not going anywhere. And that little monkey's not going to get in trouble. And that little monkey is not going to wander too far. That little monkey's not going to fall into the water and drown or whatever. Why? Because mom has placed her hand upon her child. This is what David says. You have placed your hand upon me. Sometimes you and I do not like the hand of God upon us, right? Sometimes it feels kind of restrictive and it feels kind of heavy. But if God places his hand upon you, it's for a very good reason. It's for a very good reason. Do you want me to give you three reasons really quickly? Okay, here's one. Like it or not, I'm going to give you three reasons real quickly. Okay, here we go. You already know this one. This is one of our favorite verses. We have been we've been reading this almost every other week, right? Isaiah 41:10. I'm in the midst of memorizing it right now. And some of you are saying, well, that's really short. Why haven't you got it memorized yet? Because my hard drive is almost full. I'm much older than you, so I'm still working on it. But look at what it says. All of these wonderful things. And then God says, I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. There's one of the benefits of the hand of God. And I love that because it's right hand. Remember, sorry to all you lefties. Sorry, all you lefties. Traditionally, in the Bible, God's right hand is the hand of favor and power, right? And that shows the strength of God. And so what God says to you, here's one of the benefits when his hand is upon you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. You should be so glad that your father holds on to you. that he puts his hand on you. There's one. Ready for another one? I like this one too. Psalm 37:24. Though he falls. Have you ever fallen? Yep. Me too. He will not be overwhelmed because the Lord supports with his hand. That's another good one, isn't it? That the Lord's hand helps to support. The Lord's hand helps in all these areas. Okay? Ready for one more? This is really fast. You know I love 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 6. It's in a larger context, but this is so good. Peter says, humble yourselves under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up in due time. And so the hand of God comes upon you and you voluntarily, you and I, got it? We voluntarily, because you know what? I say voluntarily because you do not have to stay under the hand of God if you don't want to. Because God's, he doesn't want puppets. He wants relationship. And so God's hand is there. And Peter says, humble yourself under his hand. His hand's going to be on you. It may press you somewhat. And you may feel like, ah! But stay under his hand. And then what does Peter say? That he may lift you up in due time. At the right time, that same hand of God that has been on you will then begin to lift you up and out of the circumstances and the situation that were pressing in upon you. These are the blessings and the benefits of the hand of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now, there are more than that, but that's just three really, really quickly. And I can tell right now we are not going to get to the end of this psalm. So we'll find a good stopping place, but we're not stopping yet, right? Okay, let's get to verse 6, and then we'll stop. Verse 6 is the next one. Okay, so right now, where are we in the psalm? David has said, you have searched me and known me. That's the theme, right? And then he begins to show us exactly how God has searched and how God has known him. And then he gets to verse 5, you encircle me, your hand is upon me, and we've looked at that. And then, now, it's kind of a change in the psalm. Look at verse 6. Now we see David's response. What is your response when you know these things? All the things that we've just talked about. Because you know what? You are no different than David. You are no different from David. You're a person just as David was or whoever the writer was. And the same way that God interacts with that writer of Psalms, he interacts with you and with me in the same way. So how are you going to respond? Now, there's more in the psalm, but let's stop with verse 6 this morning, and we'll think on it, okay? Look at verse 6, Psalm 139, verse 6. David says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too great for me to understand. Modern translation, mind blown. Or it's lit, or whatever you want to call it, right? I know y'all are too old for that already. I'm doing my best, right? Okay, I'm trying. Try harder, is what you said? We have a vacancy on the board. That was the best I could do. If y'all have something better, you younger, you come up and let me know. But in fact, David really is kind of saying this it blows my mind. I'm sorry, that's an old-fashioned way of saying it now, right? But I can't even comprehend that. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I can't even comprehend that. But what we see is this. Do you see here in verse 6 when he says, I can't even figure that out. It's not a bad thing, right? It's not a negative thing. It's not a negative thing. These things that you and I look at that we would in our natural part would push back against, David is saying, wow. I want to close with this. We'll talk about this more next week. You all know where I used to live and work, right? And I found out very quickly that I was always observed. That's a nice way to put it. Those of you who lived and worked in the same place, you know what I mean, right? I I soon found out that if I said something in my room, in my bedroom, or in my living room, it was heard somewhere else. Oh, of course. No, oh, 当然啦. Of course. Bedroom. Oh, yeah, maybe even bathroom, I don't know. Oh, that would really be bad, wouldn't it? That would be so bad. But anyhow, where I used to be, if I said something, it was heard. If I once went somewhere, it was known. And that became very, very clear. And that was something that I didn't like. And it was something that was pretty creepy, right? It's like you don't want to. Why was it creepy? Because I didn't know what their intentions towards me. I didn't think their heart was good towards me, right? What are you going to do with this knowledge? Am I going to get in trouble for this? Is this going to happen? And I could give you many, many, many details. Many details. Not going to go that way. But what made it unpleasant and creepy was that I thought their intentions towards me perhaps were not the best. Now here's the difference about God, who knows far, far more than anything like that. You know, even in Hong Kong these days, we've got CCTV everywhere. More and more, we know. We've got all of these things. And generally, we don't like it very much because we feel like, why? Yeah? And who has this knowledge and so forth and so on. The difference with this, as we come to a close this morning, is that the one who observes you, the one who knows your deepest thoughts, the one who knows all your failings, really, all your shortcomings, all your weaknesses, you are his precious creation. He loves you completely, fully, eternally. And his knowledge of you this morning, everything he knows about you, he will always work towards good, never towards bad. There are some things about me I don't want you to know because I'm afraid you might talk about me. I'm afraid you might judge me. I'm afraid you might think, well, she should do better. She's a pastor. We're all like that because we're imperfect. But I can go to God because he already knows. And he encircles me, and his hand is on me for my good. Therefore, when you're with God alone, whatever's there, pour it out. Don't hide it. Don't make it pretty and then say, let me spray some perfume on it and then give it to God so it doesn't smell so bad. Mm-mm. You take it just like it is. You come just as you are. With everything that you are, because he already knows. And he says, I've got this. And I've got you. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm not going to leave you. You are my precious treasure. And I'll never let you go. Amen? Let's stop there. I'll work on my vocabulary before next week. Here's your homework. I'll do it too. Why don't you take some time this week to read Psalm 139, okay? Think on it. Pray on it. The Holy Spirit's a much, much better teacher than I am. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand even more. And then next week, when we come back, we'll finish up Psalm 139. Amen? Amen. Lord, such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is too great for us to understand. But we are really, really glad. Father, I pray for each one of us here this morning, just as we are, with all the things that we're dealing with all of the parts that we can't make fit together, with things and thoughts and feelings and attitudes that we really don't want anyone else to know about. But Lord, here they are, and we bring them to you because we know that everything in your hands you will deal with in love. You are not going to reject us. You're not going to be shocked. You're not going to be horrified. You're not going to be critical or judgmental. But because you love us and because we are your creation, you will take every part of our lives and you will continue to recreate us and make us new in Christ Jesus. And we are very grateful for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Come get a souvenir gift if you haven't yet. Yeah, come get a souvenir. Board members. Yeah. Go.